I'm sure most of you know this, but I've known Jesus for 9 years. I've known Justin since we were in middle school. And had you told me then about this morning, either one of us, I think, that we would be the two on the platform leading a congregation in worship, I wouldn't have believed it. it's a great blessing to do this with a friend, and so I'm really looking forward to this. As I said, you have me for the next 2 weeks. And oddly enough, we're going to spend the next 2 weeks looking at the same passage. This passage from Luke chapter 8 shows two interwoven stories of faith and trust. It shows action and reaction within the ministry of Jesus. It provides for us a snapshot of the life and the ministry of Jesus. As we look into this chapter, we'll experience the reality of God from different perspectives. This week, we're going to look at it from the perspective of Jairus. And next week, we'll look at it from the perspective of the woman. And though we see the differences along the way, ultimately what we'll see is the glory of Jesus Christ revealed. Because in both stories, that's the end result. And so this morning we look at the synagogue ruler, Jairus. We see him coming to Jesus on behalf of his daughter. His daughter is sick, his daughter is dying. And we're presented with a very human story and a very great model of faith. We'll talk about approaching Christ on behalf of others. It's a great message for Father's Day, because as I said at the beginning, as fathers, we should be desperately pursuing Jesus on behalf of our children. We should be bringing them along and praying that they too will seek Jesus in their lives. But it's not a message just for fathers, because in our church we have the Andrew ministry. We're all to be reaching out desperately with love and passion to those around us, hoping that they too will come to meet Jesus. And so this is a message for everybody. We see a man turning to Jesus for help. We see Jesus answering. And as I said, we'll see the glory of Jesus revealed in the answer that he provides. And so today we're going to look at three things that we see in Jairus as he approaches Jesus. The first of these is we see humility. The story starts in the Bible just like so many others in the Gospels. Jesus and his disciples were traveling back and forth across the Sea of Galilee. And every time they stepped off the boat, something happened. Just earlier in this chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus and the disciples stepped off the boat and a naked demoniac comes running at Jesus, falls at his feet and worships him. That story ends with 2,000 demon-possessed pigs running into the Sea of Galilee. So if I were one of the disciples and I came back across the sea and I see another crowd coming at me, I don't think I'd want to get off the boat. They had to come to that point where they just started seeing so many amazing things that they weren't sure what was going to happen the next time they stepped off the boat. This time as they step off, here comes Jairus. In Hebrew, the word for worship literally means to fall to the ground, face to the ground. It means to assume a posture and a position of humility and submission. And so Jairus, who is a ruler in the synagogue, as he falls at the feet of Jesus, make no mistake, this is an act of worship. He was submitting himself to Jesus in desperation. He knew that Jesus was his daughter's only hope. And so he came to Jesus. Warren Wiersbe is a writer and a Bible commentator. And he wrote once that the ground is level at the feet of Jesus. And what he means by that is it doesn't matter who you are, what your background is. In this story, we see a synagogue ruler, a man, and we see a woman, both falling at the feet of Jesus. And he accepts them both just the same. That ground is level. And Jesus is calling each one of us to approach him with humility, to submit to him, and to give our lives to him. That's why I was reminded of that story of Job. Because Job did much the same thing. He was just approaching God in humility. He was presenting the sacrifices. He was worshiping, hoping that his children would not turn their backs on God. And so he pleaded with Jesus. Please, just place your hands on my daughter that she might be well. And that brings me to the second thing that we see in Jairus. And that's courage. Because to understand exactly what Jairus was doing, we have to understand a little bit about who he was. The scriptures tell us he was a ruler in the synagogue. And as a ruler, he was actually the third highest ranking position in the synagogue, behind the high priest, the chief of priests, and then the ruler of the synagogue. His job was basically to maintain the order of worship. He would call people to speak to the congregation, to read the scriptures, to sing, to lead the people in worship. Most importantly, it was an elected position. Jairus was actually selected by the elders of the congregation and placed into that position. Typically, the rulers of the synagogue were very well-connected people. They were often very wealthy people. And then the topping on all of it is that in order to become the ruler of the synagogue, you had to be approved by the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jews. So to say that Jairus had a lot to lose by walking up to Jesus, the most controversial man on the planet, throwing himself at his feet and worshiping, that goes beyond courage. That's taking everything that this world has to offer, casting it aside and saying, you know what? It doesn't matter. I need Jesus. Sometimes we lack the courage to turn to Jesus, even when Jesus is the only person we can turn to. It would have been very easy for Jairus to stand on the sidelines and say, I've heard a lot about that guy. You know, he could probably help my daughter. I wish he would. Or better yet, shouldn't he know that my daughter needs help? Why doesn't he help her? But he didn't stand on the sidelines. He put everything on the line and he followed. He went to Jesus. He threw himself at his feet. That takes courage. One of the things I love about this particular story in Luke's gospel is that it seems like two stories. As you read through, you're reading about Jairus, and then all of a sudden, here comes the story about the woman. Next week, we'll talk more about that, so I don't want to get into too much detail. But I don't see it as two stories at all. You have to remember that as Jesus was dealing with this woman, Jairus was still there. When Jairus asked for help, it's not like he got into his car and went this way, and then Jesus and the disciples got in the tour bus and went the other way, and they had their own meeting again at his house. Jairus was walking alongside Jesus in this instance. He saw faith in action in that woman. He saw a woman that was so desperate, just like he was. And she laid it on the line too, and she ended up at the feet of Jesus. And what Jesus said to her was, your faith has made you well. He saw faith. And so that's the third thing we end up seeing in Jairus, is faith. Because as they continued on towards the house, here comes somebody from the house. Jairus, your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. And at that moment, a lot of human emotion had to go through Jairus. I know the thing that runs through my mind is, if only Jesus hadn't stopped to help that woman, maybe he'd have gotten to Jairus' daughter in time. I know as a father, Jairus had to be inclined to think something just like that. Jesus had to know what Jairus was thinking. And he gave him a very quick, very short answer. Don't be afraid. Just believe. And your daughter will be made well. So Jairus had seen the faith of the woman. He had been told by our Savior, have faith. Now he just had to put it into action. The one thing he had to notice, which I would think is comforting, is that Jesus was still moving forward. He met him coming off the boat, and Jesus agreed to follow him. And as he followed him, they encounter this woman. And after the encounter with the woman is done, Jesus is still going towards Jairus' house. Jairus had to see that and say, you know what, if Jesus is still coming, maybe I should still have faith that it's not over. I read a quote this week from a psychology professor at Wayne State University. And he said that as faith is strengthened, you will find that there is no longer a need to have a sense of control. That things will flow as they will, and that you will flow with them. I don't know what his worldview is, but there's an element of truth to what he's saying. That as our faith is strengthened, as we realize just how big our God is, we can let go of the need to be in control. Jairus was a ruler in the synagogue. He was a man who had control. He controlled the worship service. And he had to go to Jesus and let all that go. That took humility. That took courage. And it took faith. Because sometimes when it's out of our hands, and most of the time it is, we just have to let go and trust Jesus. And know that He's still moving forward. We may not know why, or we know eventually where, but we may not know why at the time, but He's still moving forward. And He's worthy of our faith. I struggled this week trying to find illustrations for this sermon. If you ever prepare a sermon, you know that they tell you you've got to have good illustrations. Something that can really drive these points home. You've got to find something from today that confirms what you're seeing in the Bible. And as I struggled to find those illustrations, I came to realize that this is the story. Nobody's going to tell it better. You try to find a story from today where somebody lays it all on the line and they give it all to Jesus and they show that faith as they're walking. And in the end, you see Jesus respond. This is the story. If we're not seeing that here, there's no story from the news today that's going to tell us that. And so we see that Jesus does continue moving forward. He does eventually make it to Jairus' house. I think it's safe to say the people outside his house and at his house didn't share his faith. Because they were weeping. They were mourning. And when Jesus told them, "She's only asleep," they laughed. And it's a shame that they laughed, because as a result of their mocking, they missed out on one of the greatest miracles that we have in the Scriptures. And that's resurrection. Because what we see in this story of Jairus and his daughter foreshadows our own resurrection in the end as faithful Christians. Our bodies will go to sleep. Our spirits will go to be with Jesus. But there's a day coming. The faithful will be risen up to be with Jesus, to meet Him in the sky. We'll be given glorified, resurrected bodies. Death in this life is but a slumber. And one day Jesus will come back and He'll say, just like He did to the girl, "My child, come." And just like with this child, her spirit was reunited with her body and she was risen to life. That's the hope of Christianity. That's our future. And so if you're here this morning and you're in Christ, find hope in this story, because it is our hope that one day Jesus will call each of us and we'll be resurrected. We'll be with Him forever. And if you're not here, or if you're here and you're not in Christ, learn from Jairus. Show the humility that Jesus deserves. Find the courage that He wants you to have and put your faith in Him as He calls you to do. I promise you He's waiting with open arms, and that hope can be yours today. Jairus was humble. He was courageous as he approached Jesus. He was faithful as he walked with Jesus, and he saw firsthand the glory of Christ. Praise God. Just as God was the father of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, I think each of us here today should be seeking that God would be the God of Bob the God of Henry, the God of his children. We should seek desperately to have Jesus be a part of our lives, our children's lives, and our children's children's lives. That's the story in the Scriptures. That we be God's people. And so call on him today. And as I said, it's not just a story for fathers, though it's a great story for fathers. It's a story for each and every one of us, because we should all have people that we are passionately and persistently praying for, that they would find Jesus. We should be doing everything that we can to bring them along with us to humbly worship at the feet of Jesus, to take courage, to not care what anyone else thinks, and to do what we have to do. Because in this case, Jesus is the only hope. And so place your faith in him today. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Father God, I thank you so much that you are the supreme example of what a father should be. I thank you that you pursue each and every one of us, that you love each and every one of us so much that you gave us Jesus. And Father, I ask you today that you would strengthen the hearts of each person here. For those that are fathers and grandfathers, place it upon our hearts to passionately and desperately seek you, to bring our children along to worship you. For those of us who are men, may we be godly men. For those of us here who are faithful, Lord God, let us be faithful in bringing others to you. Help us to be prayerful, to be compassionate, to show the love that Christ showed. Let it shine through us, that we may see the kingdom grow. Father God, I thank you for each person here today. I thank you that we are here freely, without reservation, and that hearts are open today. Lord God, I just pray that you would change the hearts that are open today. Send your Spirit upon us. Help us to leave this place with strength and courage to be your people. And bring us back safely to do this again next week. Unless, in that meantime, you call us home. And Father God, I thank you for that. I thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. And it's in his awesome name that we pray. Amen.